We're on test Zayin Amud Aleph, six lines up from where the lines start to get wide, where it says, Lo es navi sheker. The Mishnah taught us that another case that has to be judged by a court of 71 judges, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the Supreme Court that sat in the Lishkas HaGaz's chamber, is the case of a navi sheker. As the Torah in Parsha Shoftim teaches, if there shall be a false prophet, prophesizes things that are false in the name of Hashem, or perhaps in the name of some false god. Torah says, "Umesa naviyahu," that false prophet shall be put to death. So our Mishnah taught us that a case of a Navi Sheker must be judged by the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 judges. So the Gemara begins by asking, "Minahani mili?" From where do we know these words from? What's the source for this? Gemara explains, "Amar Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina." The answer is, "Asya hazada hazada mezakein mamre." We learn this halacha, this requirement, from a gzeres shava, which means we connect a word states in our passage with that same word in a different passage, which enables us to learn laws one from the other. About the navi sheker, the Torah states, "Ach hanavi asher yazid ledaber davar b'shmi," the prophet who purposely speaks something false in my name. So we have this language of Yazid, Hazada. He's willfully doing this sin. We also find this terminology in the passage earlier there in Parshas Shoftim of the Zakein Mamre, which refers to a case where a scholar decides to rebel against the ruling of the Supreme Court of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. He refuses to follow their ruling. In certain circumstances of that, the Torah says that Zakin Mamre is liable to the death penalty. So by linking these two terms, the same terminology of Hazada, we learn Ma'ala Halal B'Shivim Ve'echad. Just as this halacha of Zakin Mamre only applies if he rebels against the ruling of the highest court, the court of 71 judges, so Afkan, so too over here, when it comes to sentencing a Navi Sheker to death, B'shiv Me'echad, it must be done by a court of 71 judges. But the Gemara points out a problem with this Gzeres Shava, which is, V'ha hazada ki ksiva b'ketalahu dechsiva. The Gemara says, one minute here, when the Torah uses the terminology of hazada in reference to the Zakein that rebels against the ruling of the Supreme Court, it's teaching us there that Zakein is liable to the death penalty. It's discussing the punishment rather than the details of the sin. It's coming to teach that the Zakein Mamre, for willfully rebelling, has to be put to death. Ukitala, and the process of putting the Zakein Mamre to death, be'esenu t'lasehu, presumably, can be done by a Sanhedrin Ketana of just 23 judges. But the Torah does not state otherwise. So presumably it's like any other case of Dina Nefashos, where to sentence the person to death, we require a Sanhedrin Ketana of 23 judges. So if we apply the Gzeres Shava, if we link that back to Navi Sheker, and the halacha should be that Navi Sheker requires a court of only 23 judges. Not like our Mishnah says, it needs 71 judges. So the Gemara modifies, Elam Reish Lakish, so rather Reish Lakish said, that actually the source, and we need 71 judges by Navi Sheker, is Gomar Davar Davar Meham Rosso. There's a different Gzeres Shava here. That is using the words Davar. It says Davar over here by Navi Sheker. Pasuk says Acha Navi Asher Yazid LeDaber Davar B'Shmi. And we find this word in the passage of the Zakein Mamre, specifically where it's talking about the ruling of the Sanhedrin HaGadol that must be followed, that nobody can rebel against. Torah says there, V'yasisa alpi hadavar asher yagidu lecha. Torah says that you must follow the davar, the matter that they tell you. Whatever the Sanhedrin HaGadol rules, you have to follow that ruling. The Torah goes on to say, if this Zakein rebels against the ruling, then he's put to death. The point is that the word davar there is clearly talking about the stage where 71 judges are required. It's only considered a type of rebellion where we put him to death if you're talking about a ruling of 71 judges, the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And through the Gzeres Shava, we carry that over the Davar over here by the Navi Sheker, which means that Torah is saying that we may only put a Navi Sheker to death through a court of 71 judges, a Sanhedrin HaGadol. But now the Gemara wonders, And once it's established that you need a court of 71 judges to sentence the Navi Sheker, v'lahadar zaken mamre v'ligomar hazada min Navi Sheker. Now we should turn around and use the previously mentioned Gzeira Shava, that it says hazada, this false prophet willfully falsely prophesizes. It also uses a language of hazada about the Zaken Mamre. He willfully rebels against the Sanhedrin. Agadol is therefore put to death. We should connect these passages and say, now that we know that a court of 71 is required to put the Navi Sheker to death, go through Azada Azada to teach the Zaken Mamre as well. A court of 71 judges is required to put the Zaken Mamre to death. Our Mishnah, however, does not say this. Our Mishnah does not include Zaken Mamre in the list of cases where we require the court of 71. The question is, why not? We should use this other Gzeira Shava to teach that Zaken Mamre needs a court of 71 too. The Gemara simply answers, Davar Davar Gamir. While we have a tradition to learn from the Davar Davar Gzeira Shava as above, Hazada Hazada Lo Gamir. This other Gzeira Shava that we entertained using, linking Hazada to Hazada, was not accepted, was not taught through the tradition. Because when it comes to Gzeira Shava, it's not something a person can, you know, think about on his own. Oh, he sees two words that are the same, so let's learn from one passage to the other. No, it doesn't work like that. You can only do Gzeira Shava if you received it through tradition, from teacher to student, as opposed to something like a Kal V'Chomer, like a logical Kal V'Chomer deduction, just something the Gemara will do on its own. So the Gemara simply answers that it must be that we have no specific tradition to teach this other Gzeira Shava, and that's why we fall back on the assumption that since the Torah didn't indicate otherwise, presumably the Zaken Mamre is put to death with a court of just 23, like most other capital cases. Our Mishnah then said, "Velo es Kohen Gadol." A Kohen Gadol also cannot be judged except through a court of 71 judges, the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara asks, "Minani Mili, from where do we know this from? What's the source?" Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava. Rav Bar Ava answers, "Yomar Kro, the pasuk in Yisro says, Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Hadavar HaGadol Yaviu Eilecha. Yisro, of course, advised Moshe Rabbeinu regarding setting up a judicial system. He says, the Davar HaGadol, a great matter Yaviu Eilecha, that should be brought to you. The smaller things should be handled by lower courts. By the Rav Darshans, he says, Dvarav Shel Gadol. We can also understand Yisro's words as meaning a matter concerning a Gadol, a person who we would call a Gadol, a great person, a person in a position of leadership, like the Kohen Gadol. If he needs to be judged, that should be brought to you. And whenever we talk about a case being brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, the understanding is that means it should be brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin HaGadol with 70 other elders. So Yisro was saying, if it's a case of a Gadol, of a high-profile person, a leader, the Kohen Gadol, that shall be brought to you, meaning to the Sanhedrin of Gadol. So that's the source for the Mishnah's assertion that the case of the Kohen Gadol has to be brought to the Sanhedrin of Gadol. Meisvei, they asked on this, though, from the following Brisa. Says the Brisa about this pasuk that we just quoted. The Torah says, Davar Gadol, Yisro refers to the Davar Gadol, the great matter, shall be brought to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Brisa, it means davar kasha. It means a really difficult case. A case that's beyond the scope of the lower courts shall be brought to you, to the great court, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Brisa proves that this has to be the meaning. Rata omer davar kasha could be like we're saying, it means a difficult case. O eino ela devarav shel gadol. Or maybe it means a case of a gadol, of a great person. If it's a high profile person, then shall be brought to you to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Maybe that's what it means. So the Brisa proves that the first interpretation is correct. Since the pasuk later mentions Esadavar Hakasha Yaviun El Moshe, the Torah relates how Moshe Rabbeinu implemented Yisro's suggested system, and the Torah there states very clearly what it meant. It says difficult matters were brought to Moshe. So the Torah later clarifies, it states exactly what it meant earlier. It said earlier, Davar HaGadol, clearly meant Davar Kasha. Gadol was meant in the sense of it was great, meaning it was a difficult case, beyond the scope of the lower courts. That's apparently what was meant earlier by any Davar Gadol shall be brought to you, the Moshe Rabbeinu. So This braisa is clearly saying not to interpret the pasuk as Rav Ada bar Ava did, and therefore we would have no source that a case involving the Kohen Gadol is automatically brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara answers, "Hu the Amar ki hai Tana." True, the above braisa is not like Rav Ada bar Ava, but Rav Ada bar Ava holds like the following Tana, the Tanya. As it says in the braisa, this braisa also discusses our pasuk, which again says, "Davar Gadol, a great matter should be brought to you, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol." Devarav shel Gadol, says this braisa, exactly like Rav Ada bar Ava said, it means case of a great person, it's a high profile person, a leader, a Kohen Gadol, and that case shall be brought to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The braisa says, how do I know that's the meaning? Ata omer devarav shel Gadol, you could say that's what it means. O eno ela davar akasha, but maybe not. Maybe it simply means that a davar Gadol, a difficult case, case that's kasha, is difficult, shall be brought to you. Says this braisa, no. For kishu omer hadavar hakasha. Since later, as mentioned above in the previous braisa, the Torah later says that a difficult matter was brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hare davar kasha amur. Behold, the point that difficult cases beyond the scope of the lower courts, that those are brought to the highest court of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, that point was already explained in this later pasuk. And so this braisa argues, if you say the earlier pasuk also meant the same thing, that the difficult cases are brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's redundant. You already told me that later. Therefore says this braisa, ho mani mekayim davar gadol, must be, how do I account for, what's this other point, that a davar gadol should be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? It must be that it means the varav shel gadol. The word gadol is not meant in the sense of it's great, it's very difficult, rather, it's meant in the sense of a gadol, a great person. If a leader is being judged, in that case, automatically goes to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. That's the argument of braisa number two, and the Gemara says Rav Ada bar Ava subscribes to this braisa, and therefore this will be the source for our Mishnah's halacha. The case of a Kohen Gadol is automatically brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara now wonders that indeed this second braisa is making a good point, that you know you don't need the Torah to say the same point twice. So v'hai Tana, the earlier Tana of the first braisa, Trei Kroi Lamali, how does he answer this question that if Davar Gadol earlier means difficult matter, but then why do you need to say that twice? Why does the Torah twice have to say the difficult matters are brought to Moshe Rabbeinu? And the Gemara answers, the braisa number one would simply say, Chad litzava ba'alma. The first time the Torah mentions that Davar Gadol, the difficult matter, shall be brought to you, to Moshe Rabbeinu, there Yisro is making his proposal of a judicial system. He's saying, this is how it works. If it's a difficult matter, then that could be brought to you. Chad lasiya. The next time the Torah mentions this, it's telling us that it was actually carried out. The Torah is saying later that, yes, Moshe did so. He followed Yisro's advice and implemented this, meaning what? And what did he do? He set up the system so that only the really difficult cases were brought to him, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the first time I would say, it's not redundant at all. The Gemara says that's a good point. V'idach, so what braisa number two say back to this? The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if that were so, if the whole purpose here was just to first say that this was the proposal and then say, and it was implemented, it was carried out, Lichtov, O Gadol, Gadol, O Kasha, Kasha. The Torah ought to have been consistent in the type of language used here. As either refer to this process both times with the term gadol, or refer to the process both times with the term kasha. My gadol, my kasha. Why instead does the Torah change the terminology? Initially it says, the system was, the gadol matters were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it describes it as the kasha matters were brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. The second Tana would say, Shma mina tarti. This indicates, we learn from this, that these two phrases are referring to different aspects of the judicial system. That is, when it says later kasha, okay, clearly the word kasha means difficult, but when Tara earlier says, Davar HaGadol, must be that is referring to something else. That is, it's referring to a matter of a gadol, a great person, a person of leadership, like a Kohen Gadol, that's automatically brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara now wonders about a specific case. Rabbi Elazar asked, Shoro shel Kohen Gadol. Let's say an ox belonging to a Kohen Gadol went and killed a person. Bikama. How many judges would be required to judge the case? Now we studied this halacha case where an ox kills a person yesterday, the Torah says that if an ox kills a person, Asher Yisalkel, that ox is stoned to death, V'gam be'alav yumas. And the Torah then says that also its owner is put to death. Practically, what that really means is that the owner is considered to be liable to death until he makes a payment, a kofar payment. But there is another halachic significance of the fact that right next to each other, the Torah mentions the ox's death penalty and the owner's death penalty. And that is, it teaches us to compare one to the other. And we say that just as if a human being were being sentenced to death, that requires a court of 23 judges. Most dina nefashas, most capital cases require a court of 23 judges. So too, when trying this ox, decide to put it to death, we need a court of 23 judges. So the Gemara says, well, let's say the owner is a Kohen Gadol. In this case, how many judges are required for the court case for the ox? The question here comes down to, Lemisas bailam didei midaminan lei. Perhaps with the hekesh, the comparison again between the ox and the owner's death penalty, is specifically saying that we compare, we learn the laws of how to sentence the ox to death from the way we would sentence its specific owner to death. And if so, if its owner happened to be a Kohen Gadol, since a Kohen Gadol requires a court of 71 judges, the ox would also require 71 judges. Odil mor, maybe, lemisas bailam da'alma midaminan lei. Perhaps the hekesh does not mean that we have to compare the process for the ox to its specific owner. Rather, the Torah saying is that we figure out the number of judges needed for the ox based on the general law. In general, how many judges do you need in capital cases? The answer is 23. So if that's the way you say the hekesh, well then, even a Kohen Gadol's ox will only require a court of 23 judges. The Gemara does not end up answering this question. However, the Gemara makes an observation from Rabbi Elazar's question. Amar Abaye. Abaye observes that midika miboy le shoro. From the fact that Rabbi Elazar only asks about this case where the Kohen Gadol's ox killed a person, Rabbi Elazar considers that maybe here the Kohen Gadol's ox would require a court of 71. Michlal de memono pshita le. Rabbi Elazar implies, it seems Rabbi Elazar's premise is that if a Kohen Gadol is involved in a regular monetary case, case of litigations, seems it's a given to Rabbi Elazar that there, of course, we treat it like any other monetary case, that is, it requires a court of just three judges. Because if this halacha that a Kohen Gadol needs a court of 71 is an absolute halacha, it doesn't matter what the case is, even if it's just a minor monetary case, you need 71 judges, well then Rabbi Elazar's question wouldn't make sense. Of course you need 71 judges. Because every case of a Kohen Gadol requires 71 judges. So apparently, Rabbi Elazar understands that the halacha we mentioned earlier, that a Kohen Gadol requires 71 judges, is limited to when a Kohen Gadol is involved in a capital case. That's what Abaye concludes from Rabbi Elazar's question. The Gemara wonders, what's the point even of making a whole observation of this? Pshita. It's obvious, of course, a Kohen Gadol's monetary case only requires three judges like any other monetary case. Gemara says, like, it's obvious that when we talk about 71 judges, it has to refer to a capital case, where even though by regular people it's 23 judges, by Kohen Gadol we require 71 judges, the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So why does Abaye feel this is like a noteworthy observation? The Gemara answers, no, it's not so obvious. From out of the same ma, you might have said that Hoil Vikasav Kol Hadavar Hagadol, since the Torah's wording is, Yisro says the Moshe Rabbeinu, every great matter, and as we explained earlier, Kol Dvarav Shel God doesn't mean that the case itself is great, is difficult. It means it's a case of a Gadol person, like a Kohen Gadol, shall be brought to you, to Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning to the highest court. So the Gemara says, you might have read that literally, that you could understand, maybe the Torah is saying every single case, any case that a Kohen Gadol is involved in, must be brought to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So Kamash Malan, Abaye therefore teaches us, based on his inference from Rabbi Elazar's question, that's not so, it's not the case. Rather, when the Torah says that a matter of a Gadol, a matter of a leader, a Kohen Gadol, is brought to Sanhedrin HaGadol, it means when you're dealing with a capital case of a Kohen Gadol, then rather than the regular Sanhedrin of 23, you bring it to the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71. The Mishnah then taught us that we don't go out to war. We're starting waging military campaigns before getting authorization from the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the Gemara asks, Minani Mili, where do we know this? What's the source for this? The Gemara answers, Amr Rabbi Yavahu. Yavahu answers, the Amar Kra. The Torah says in Parshas Pinchas, regarding the mitzvah to come into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Eretz Yisrael, the Torah says, V'lifnei Elazar HaKohen Ya'amot. Yeshua is to stand before Elazar HaKohen, Elazar the Kohen Gadol. He shall stand before him, ask the Urim V'tumim, warned by the Kohen Gadol, for divine approval to go to battle. And the Gemara explains, Hu Zeh Melech. When the Pasuk talks about, he shall stand before Elazar HaKohen, this word, the pronoun who, refers to the Melech, the king, leader of the Jewish people, which at that time will be Yeshua. Pasuk then says, V'chol b'nei Yisrael ito, and all of Yisrael with him. So that's actually referring to Zeh Meshuach Melchama. That's saying that the special kohen that's anointed to lead the army into battle, encourages the army, he too shall be present when the Urim V'tumim is consulted whether they should go into battle. V'chol ha'eda, the Pasuk says, and the entire Eda. And we know from earlier in the Masechta that the word Eda has special significance. Zeh Sanhedrin, it refers to the Sanhedrin. So meaning the Pasuk is teaching us that in addition to consulting the Urim V'tumim, of course, tucked within the Kohen Gadol's choshen, the breastplate worn on his chest, the stones presenting the Shvatim was a parchment which was written the name of Hashem, and we were able to ask the Urim V'tumim questions, and the Urim V'tumim would answer by lighting up different stones on the choshen, and that would indicate, let's say, whether it was a good idea, it was the divine will that we should go into battle. The Gemara is saying that since the Pasuk mentions V'chol Ha'eda, which refers to the Sanhedrin, we learn the Sanhedrin was also consulted on the question of whether they should go into battle. But the Gemara questions this source, V'dilma, the Sanhedrin, who the Karmeluhu Rachmana, L'shailu B'urim B'tumim. Who says that the Torah is saying that the Sanhedrin is consulted about the question of whether Israel should go to battle? Perhaps the Sanhedrin's role here is that, you know, they're also able to ask the Urim B'tumim. You can't just have any ordinary person ask of the Urim B'tumim these important national questions. So maybe the Pasuk is simply saying that the Sanhedrin HaGadol, those, you know, greatest elders of the nation, are also qualified to ask the Urim B'tumim, let's say, whether we should go to battle. But who says that the Sanhedrin actually had to sign off, had to authorize the battle? Therefore, the Gemara modifies, Ella, ki ha di amr av acha bar biznam Rabbi Shimon Chasida. He relates the following, a typical day in the life of David HaMelech. He describes how kinor hayatoloi lemalem imitaso shel David. There was a harp that hung above the bed of David HaMelech, and after David HaMelech had a little bit of a rest at night, kiven shehagia chatzos laila, when midnight arrived, ruach tzfonis min hasheves bo v'haya menagen me'elof. The northern wind would come blowing into the room, and it would cause the harp to play on its own. And this would awaken David HaMelech, and miyada yadavid omeid v'osek batorah atsha'ola amud ha-shachar. Immediately, when he was woken by the harp, David would get up and immerse himself in Torah study, from chatzos, from midnight until amud ha-shachar, until dawn. And kivin sha'ola amud ha-shachar, nichnasu chachm Yisrael atzlo. Once it was dawn, the sages of Yisrael would come to David HaMelech with the day's issues. It needed to be addressed by the king. Amrilo, the Chacham Yisrael said to David HaMelech, Adoneinu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael, Tzrichim LeParnasa. Your Majesty, the people need Parnasa, they need food. Amrilo had David HaMelech, said to them, Lechu v'hisparnus is emizef. There's a hunger issue, then the people should support one another. Those who have more should help their brethren and give to the poor. Amrilo, the Chacham Yisrael said to David HaMelech, even with such efforts to help each other, Eina Kometz Masbiya Eshari, a little handful of food is not going to satisfy the lion. V'eina Abar Mismalei Mechuliyasi, you can't fill a pit with its own dirt. Meaning the Chachmi Yisrael answered, there's simply not enough food to feed everyone. Amar Lahem, so David HaMelech then said to them, okay, in that case, Lechu Pishtu Yedechem B'gedud. Therefore you should outstretch your hands, we should go to war, we should wage a battle, and conquer more territory so we can have more food for the people. Whereupon, miyad yoatzin, they sought advice by Achitofel, But David Melech's advisor Achitofel v'nimlachin b'Sanhedrin, and they consulted with the Sanhedrin v'shoalin b'urim b'tumim. And finally, that we consulted with the Urim b'tumim, warned by the Kohen Gadol. After all of this consultation, they would then make a decision as to whether they should go out on a military campaign. And Amar Rav Yosef said, Ma'akra, what Pasuk teaches us, that these figures were consulted. Turning to Amid Beis, the Gemara explains, we learn this from a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Aleph, which lists the very vital people in David HaMelech's cabinet. It says, V'achari Achitofel, after Achitofel, so the simple reading is, after Achitofel died, Ben-Yahu was then advised by Ben-Yahu, Ben-Yoyada, and Ev-Yasar, and then the Pasuk informs us, V'sar tzava le-melech Yoav. The commander of the king's army was Yoav. And the Gemara darshins this Pasuk, and here's what the Pasuk teaches us. Achitofel zeh Yoetz. Achitofel is representative of the figure who plays the role of advisor. As it says in Shmuel Beis, Ve'atzas Achitofel Asher Yoatz, the advice of Achitofel, Pasuk goes on to say, was on a caliber similar to asking advice from Hashem himself, as it were. So the Pasuk shows us that Achitofel was a uniquely qualified advisor, and so it supports our understanding that Achitofel is representative here. He's like the quintessential advisor. So when the Pasuk mentions Achitofel, that's like saying advisor. And then the Pasuk above said, Ibn Yahu ben Yehoyada, it mentions Ibn Yahu ben Yehoyada, Zeus Sanhedrin. That is a way to refer to, Ibn Yahu ben Yehoyada is like the symbol for Sanhedrin, for he was the greatest sage of the Sanhedrin in his day. So meaning, the Reyami is then saying, another important piece was the Sanhedrin. And then the Pasuk above in the Reyami mentioned Ev-Yasar, Elu Urim Vitum. The Gemara explains that's a way to refer to the Urim Vitumim worn by the Kohen Gadol. For Ev-Yasar was the Kohen Gadol wore the Urim Vitumim. And so what's happening here is that the Reyamim is describing an order. First, Achitofel, the advisor, the chief advisor, would be consulted, followed by the Sanhedrin, that's represented by Ben Yehoyada, and followed by Ev-Yasar, meaning then the Urim Vitumim worn by the Kohen Gadol was consulted. And so it says in another pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, it says Ben Yahu ben Yoyada ala kresi v'aplesi. Ben Yahu ben Yoyada was just above, and he took precedence. He came before, asking the kresi and plesi, which is another name for the Urim Vitumim. So again, this reinforces the idea that before asking the Urim Vitumim, the Sanhedrin was consulted. Now we have a source that the Sanhedrin had to authorize before we would engage in a military campaign. The Gemara wonders about this other title for the Urim Bitumim, Veloma Nikra Shaman Kresi Uplesi. Why is this a befitting name for the Urim Bitumim? The Gemara explains, Kresi comes from the language of Kares, is to cut, meaning Shekarsin Divrehen, and Bitumim would cut their words, meaning would precisely say what Hashem's answer to the question is. Uplesi has the root of Pela, meaning Shemuflayin Masayin. For of course, what the Urim Bitum did was wondrous. It was this like direct form of communication with God, and so it was Muflayin, it was wondrous. The Gemara concludes its drasha from the Pasuk Divrei Hayom. Again, we have this order. First the advisor, then the Sanhedrin, then the Urim Bitumim. And the Pasuk above concluded with V'yachar kach, and afterwards, after consulting all of these various bodies, then Sar Tzava LeMelech Yoav, then we could talk about the army, meaning then we can make a decision to go to war. Now, earlier we mentioned that David HaMelech rose way before dawn. He got up at midnight. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Reader of Adav, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Vadimi, Mikra. But Pasuk teaches us this habit of David HaMelech to rise before dawn. It's there is, we learned this from the Pasuk in Tehillim, where David HaMelech says, it's Kapitel Nun Zayin, Ura Chivodi, Ura HaNevel, says David HaMelech, awake my soul, awake. Nevel is an instrument, V'chinar and the harp, Ira Shachar. Here's the important words, I shall awaken the dawn. What does that mean, I shall awaken the dawn? It means I was up before dawn. So the Pasuk shows us that David HaMelech was up before dawn. The Gemara stated he was up already at midnight. Our Mishnah then said that Ve'en Mosifin al Ha'ir. We cannot add territory, we cannot increase the boundaries of Yerushalayim, nor the boundaries of the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, without the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 judges overseeing that process. The Gemara asks, Minani Mili, where do we know this from? And the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, says the answer is Amar Kra. Pasuk in Parshas Truma says, Kechol Asher Ani Mare Osecha Is Tavnis HaMishkan. Hashem there is commanding instructions about building the Mishkan, the tabernacle that we had in the Midbar. Hashem says to Moshe, exactly as I showed you how to construct the Mishkan and all of its vessels, V'chein Ta'asu, so shall you do. And this is stated in the future tense. So it teaches us, L'doros Habayin. The same principles that guided the process of constructing the Mishkan apply for future generations, that is, to the construction of the Beis HaMikdash that will later be built in Yerushalayim. And specifically that teaches us that just as all of the dimensions of the Mishkan were, of course, determined, were, you know, administered by Moshe Rabbeinu and his Sanhedrin HaGadol, so same thing applies for future generations. That is, if you want to make any decision with respect to the dimensions, the boundaries of the Bate Mikdash, that must be administered by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. The Gemara questions this theory. Masiv Rava. Rava asks them this from the following Braisa. The Braisa discusses the clay shares. Of course, there are many utensils used in the sacrificial service, and a lot of those utensils are very important in that the portion of sacrifice being brought with that utensil was actually sanctified by virtue of being placed in the utensil. In order to have such power to sanctify the contents of the utensil itself has to have been specifically designated for that purpose through a specific procedure. Says Rava, what that procedure entailed was different for the Kelem in the Mishkan as opposed to the Kelem in the future Bate HaMikdash. That is, Kol HaKelem Sheasa Moshe, the Kelem Moshe Rabbeinu made for the Mishkan, Mishichasan Mikachan. For the Mishkan, the Torah discusses that they were inaugurated, they were officially made into clay sharis, the service utensils, by their being anointed. There was a special anointing oil that was placed on the vessels, and that's what designated them. Now they officially were service utensils for the Mishkan. However, Mikan Ve'elech, from now on, after the Mishkan, for the Beis HaMikdash, however, Avodasim Mechanchasim, the utensils from now on will be inaugurated simply through using them for their intended purpose. Once they're used once, now they have that special status of a kli shares. So Rav asks, in light of what you suggested above, Vamai, why all of a sudden is there a different procedure for Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash? Nema V'chein Ta'asu. We should apply this teaching that you're saying from V'chein Ta'asu, and so shall you do in the future tense that you said teaches us, L'daros Abayin, that same halachas apply for the future generations. So the process of the anointing oil should apply even for the future generations, even for the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara answers, Shiny Asim. No. That discussion of how you designate the service utensils is different. The Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says regarding the utensils for the Mishkan, Vayimshachem Vayikadesh Osam. The Torah relates how Moshe Rabbeinu anointed them with that oil and thereby sanctified them. Since the Pasuk uses this exclusionary term, Osam, them, it teaches us, Osam b'mishicha, those utensils of that time, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Mishkan, are designated through the anointing oil, Velo Lidaros b'mishicha, but not for future generations. So the point is, the Torah specifically tells us that as far as this particular halacha goes, it is different for the Beis HaMikdash than it is by the Mishkan. The Gemara is not satisfied with this answer, and the Gemara asks, why should this word Osam tell us that the anointing oil is not part of the system at all for future times for the Beis HaMikdash? What do you mean? We should say like this, Osam Mimashicha. Osam, yes, is a limiting word that should say that only they, the Kelim of the Mishkan, are exclusively inaugurated through the anointing oil. Ulidaris, as opposed to future generations, where Ibe Mashicha, Ibe Avoda, where you have two options. You can either do the option of the anointing oil, or you can inaugurate it simply by using it for its service. And meaning, that's how we'll fulfill V'chein Ta'asu. That even though Osam tells us it's not exactly the same, but V'chein Ta'asu says it should be the same in the sense that you also have the choice of doing it through Mashicha. So why don't we say that? Why does the Braisa in fact say that no? The only way to designate Kelim of later times at the base of Migdash is Avodasan. You use it for its Avodit service. The Gemara answers, Amra Papa. Papa answers, Amar Kra. Pasuk in Bamidbar says, Asher Yisharsu Vam Bakodesh. Pasuk refers to the Kalim, says that they will use in the service in the Kodesh, meaning in the Beis HaMikdash. It uses the future tense, so apparently it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash, and it uses the term Yisharasu. It will be used for service. So meaning, the Torah is saying specifically that HaKosav Talon B'Sherus. The Torah is specifically teaching that only way to designate the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash is through Sherus. You have to do that process of, you know, using it for the Avodah once. That's what officially designates them. And you can't choose instead to do it through the anointing oil. The Gemara wonders, now that you're telling me we have this other source, the Torah is very clearly saying that you must inaugurate the future Kalim through using them, Ela Osam Lomali. So now why do I need the limiting term of Osam? Above we said that Osam says only the Kalim of earlier times, of the Mishkan, were inaugurated through the anointing oil as opposed to the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. But now you're telling me you have this other source. Torah says, Asher Yisharasuvam. It has to be the Sherus. You use it to inaugurate it in the Beis HaMikdash. So now, why do you need Osam? Doesn't seem to be adding any new point. My answer is no, yes it does. For Yilav Osam, without this term Osam, Havei Amin, I would have thought that this is how it works. Lidaros b'mishicha u'ba'avoda. Maybe the way it works is that as far as the utensils of the Beis HaMikdash of future times, you need both processes. You need the Avoda, as indicated from Asher Yisharasuvam. You have to actually use it for that service to inaugurate it. Plus, you need the traditional Meshicha procedure of anointing it with the oil. Maybe that's how it works. The Aksiv v'chein tasu. For after all, the Pasuk does say, and so shall you do in the future, meaning just as you do in the Mishkan, like anointing the Kalim in the oil, so shall you do in the future. So I would think you do that, plus Asher Yisharasuvam, plus you have to actually use it in the service to inaugurate it. Therefore, Kosav Rachmana Osam. The Pasuk therefore writes in reference to the Mishkan process, Osam. Only the Mishkan utensils are done this way. That is, Osam and Meshicha, only they, the Mishkan utensils, through the anointing oil, v'lo l'daros Meshicha, but not for the Kalim of future generations. So meaning the Torah is clarifying that for the Kalim of future generations, for the Beis HaMikdash, you need only do it through the Avoda, use it for that service, and then it's inaugurated. And the anointing oil is simply not part of the process. The Mishnah then taught that ain osin sinhedrin, you can't designate, you can't appoint the lower court except through the highest court, the Sanhedrin, HaGadol. The Gemara asks Minalim, from where do we know this? The Gemara answers, K'd'ashkechan b'Moshe. The answer is, this is what we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Uki Sanhedrin. Of course, the Torah describes how upon Yisro's advice, Moshe Rabbeinu set up a whole court system. So he made lower courts of 23 judges. And therefore that shows us that what is required to make a lower court of 23 judges? Well, the Moshe b'makam shivim v'chad kai. Moshe Rabbeinu is considered 71 judges, meaning he represented the Sanhedrin HaGadol. He was the Rosh of the Sanhedrin HaGadol with 70 other elders. So it teaches us, in order to form a lower court of 23, it has to be done only by an upper court, the highest court of 71 judges. The Gemara brings a Braisa now, Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Tan, a Braisa, Minayin, Shemamidin, Shoftim, Li Yisrael. How do we know the basic mitzvah that judges must be appointed for Yisrael? Tamil Lomar teaches this. The Torah says clearly, Shoftim, and later it says Titain, meaning the Torah says, you shall appoint judges for your people. Shotrim, Li Yisrael, Minayin. How do we know that Shotrim, meaning who actually enforce the court orders, the court rulings, when do we know they have to be appointed as well? Tamil Lomar, Shotrim, Titain. So the Pasuk mentions them as well. It says, Shotrim, Titain, you shall appoint the officers to enforce the law as well. The Braisa explains further, Shoftim, L'chol Shevet, V'Shevet, Minayin. Let's talk about how many judges are needed. How do we know that you need judges for each and every tribe of Yisrael? Tamil Lomar, Shoftim, L'Shvatecha. That's why the Pasuk says, L'Shvatecha, for your tribe. Shotrim, L'chol Shevet, Minayin. How do we know officers enforce the law for each and every tribe? Tamalim Shotrim Lishvatecha. It also says in reference to the Shotrim in the Pasuk there, for your tribes. So you need Shotrim in all the tribes. Shoftim L'chol Yir V'Yir Minayin. How do we know that we need to make courts, judges for each and every city. Talmud Lomar teaches this. The pasuk says Shoftim, and then it says Lisharecha, for your gates, meaning for the gates of your city. So each city needs judges. Shoftim L'chol Yevam Minayin. How do we know you need officers? There are the police, people who enforce the law for each and every city. Talmud Lomar Shoftim Lisharecha. It says Lisharecha in reference to the Shoftim too. So you need the courts. You need officers to enforce the law in each and every city of each and every tribe. Raisa continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Mimuna al Kula. Says you should know the Sanhedrin Hagadol, the highest court, is above, you know, rules over all the lower courts. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Titein Lecha. Because the Pasuk says, you shall appoint, referring to the Sanhedrin Hagadol, and the Ran explains that Yehuda means that this is the source for the Halacha we said above, that it is the task of the Sanhedrin HaGadol to appoint the lower courts. They have the ultimate authority, and they, in their authority, are able to form the lower courts. And another halacha here, Ibn Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Gamliel says, since the Pasuk says, Lishvatecha Vishavtu, right next to each other, the Pasuk has the term Lishvatecha for your tribes, and it says Vishavtu, and they shall judge. This teaches us, Mitzvah Vishavet Ladun Es Shifto, that courts of a given tribe are to judge its own members, meaning the litigants cannot go to a court of a different tribe to have their case judged. And if the case is beyond the scope of the highest court in their tribe, then they go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim. The Mishnah then taught us that Ve'ein Osin Yir Nidachas, you can't designate a city to be Yir Nidachas, which happens if most of the city went wayward and served Avodah Zarah. So then the city is designated as Yir Nidachas, and the city is destroyed, and the people are put to death by the sword. We can only designate Yir Nidachas with the Sanhedrin HaGadol of 71 judges, the Mishnah said. The Gemara asks, Minani Mili, where do we know this from? The Gemara answers, Amr Bichia, Bar Yosef, Amr Oshia. The answer is, the Amar Kra. The Pasuk, when discussing case of idol worship, how a person is liable to the death penalty, the Torah says, shall take out that man or that woman who committed avodah zarah to sharecha. Pasuk there says, to your gates. So meaning you take that person who did avodah zarah to the city's local Sanhedrin Hakatana. A court of 23 judges can sentence the person who did avodah zarah to death. We learn from the Pasuk's language, the ish v'isha tamotzi l'sharecha. If an individual did avodah zarah, then that could be handled by the city's Sanhedrin Katana. Implying that, v'i'a tamotzi kola yirkula l'sharecha. Supposed if the entire city went off and did avodah zarah, then that case cannot be handled by Sanhedrin Katana. That'll have to go to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, who might deem the city to be ir anidachas. The Mishnah then went on a tangent to discuss the halachas of Yir Nidachas a little bit. The Mishnah taught us that Ein Osin Yir Nidachas Besvar. One rule is you can't make a city that's on the border. A border city cannot be designated as Yir Nidachas that we're going to destroy. The Gemara explains, my time, what's the reason? What's the source? The answer is because the Pasuk in reference to the case of Yir Nidachas says the word Mikir Becha. The city shall be destroyed from your midst. Amar Rachmana, the Pasuk says, from your midst, v'lo min asfar, implying that if the city is at the border, it's not in your midst, it's at the border, then no halacha of Yir Nidachas. And the Gemara later will supply a logical reason for this, that, you know, makes us more vulnerable to the enemy. Another rule the Mishnah taught was that v'lo shalash, you can't make three Yir Nidachases. You can't make three of them. Dichsiv, so the Gemara explains the source, because when the Torah teaches the law of Yir Nidachas, it says achas, one. Even though it says one, you could make up to two. Because later it says arecha plural, your cities. So we say achas is limiting it, but arecha says you could still make up to two Yir Nidachases. It goes through this same derivation. Again, the pasuk says achas. It teaches us achas v'loshalosh, that we don't make three Yir Nidachases, a maximum of two. Na'atam rachas v'loshalosh, ena lachas v'loshtayim. Maybe we should read it more literally. It says achas, one, and that should teach us you can't make more than one Yir Nidachas. However, kishu omer arecha, since the pasuk also says there, says the term arecha, your cities, haresh daim amur. So clearly you could make up to two. So hamani mekayim achas. So how do we understand the limiting term of achas, one city? It means achas l'shalash. It means you can't make more than two Yir Nidachases. Now there was a discussion about what exactly this means. Zimnin Amrav, sometimes Rav would say that it means Bebezdin Echad Hu De Enosin. It means one Sanhedrin Hagadol cannot make more than two Irnidachasis. Ha Mishnai Mishloshim Batei Dinin Osin. But over the span of two or three Sanhedrin Hagadols, you could make more than two. You could end up with more than two Irnidachasis. This limitation means one Sanhedrin Hagadol can't make more than two. But other times Rav would say that no, it means afilu b'shnayim u'shlosha batei dinin le'olam ein osin. It applies like for all of history. You can't make more than the two ir nidachasis, no matter how many different Sanhedrin agadols want to issue that ruling, want to make another ir nidachas. My time of the Rav, what's the rationale for this other position that Rav expressed? Mishum karcha. The reason for this cap, that you know, for all time you can't make more than two, is the fear that if karcha, it means bald, it means that we're going to be uprooting a significant portion of Eretz Yisrael, it's too much destruction, and so no more than two. Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said, Lo shanu ela b'makom echad. He said, this maximum of two irnidachases only applies within one region of Eretz Yisrael. We know it's divided into three regions, Yehuda, Eber Yarden, and Galil. So each region can have more than two irnidachases. Aval v'shnai mishloshim v'kamos osin. But the point is, over the different regions, you could have, you know, two in each region, so you could have a maximum of six over the entire Eretz Yisrael. That was Reish Lakish's opinion, but Rabbi Yochanan Amar Einos. And Rechel says, nope. Even if you're talking about the entire Eretz Yisrael, you can't have more than two irnidachases, b'shem karcha, out of the concern that you're going to, you know, destroy too much of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, Tanya kavuse der Biochanan, we have a braisa that supports der Biochanan. The braisa says, Ein osin shalash yaros menudachos be'Eretz Yisrael. You can't make three irnidachases. That's, you know, that's above the limit. Avalosin osam shtayim. Two, you could. Maximum is two. Kegon achas b'Yehuda ve'achas b'Galil, meaning one in Yehuda, one in Galil. Avol shtayim b'Yehuda u'shtayim b'Galil ein osin. So this price of further limits the halacha and says you actually can't have more than one irnidachas in any given region between Yehuda, Galil, and Eber Yarden of Eretz Yisrael. And the point is the price clearly agrees with the Rabbi Yochanan that the halacha is you can't have more than two irnidachases in the entire Eretz Yisrael. The Braisa continues, Usmucha l'sfar afilo achas enosin. We never make a border city into Ir Nidachas. My time, what's the reason? The reason is, Shema Yishmu Nachrim v'yachrivu es Eretz Yisrael. Makes us vulnerable to the enemy. The Nachrim might hear that, oh, they destroyed a border city, and they want to take advantage of that, and they're going to come in and destroy Eretz Yisrael, chas v'shalom. Therefore, you never make a border city into Ir Nidachas. The Gemara wonders about, you know, why we're giving this, you know, logical, rational explanation. We typically want to derive it as above the Mikir Becham Rachman, as we said above. The Torah says the word Mikir Becha, destroy that city from your midst, Velomin Asfar, which we said above indicates not though a city that's a border city. The Gemara answers Rabbi Shimon. The answer is the Tana this Bryce says Rabbi Shimon, the Darish time of the crop, who darshans, who expounds, he goes into the reason for a given halacha in the Torah. And specifically that means Rabbi Shimon will understand the reason and based on that understanding, limit the halacha. Say, well, the reason is this, so we don't apply it in a different case, which is a controversial issue, but Rabbi Shimon takes the side that we could go by, we could darsh in time of the Kra to determine different halachas. And so Rabbi Shimon in this brisa emphasizes the reason, because in his view, we darsh in time of the Kra, we're able to go ahead and expound the reason. And so he offers the reason for this halacha. You can't do a border city because then you could be endangering the entire Eretz Yisrael.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shir. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.